Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The A-List Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis, Ashad Blakely, Gary Washburn. We're all here together, slowly counting down the days until the NBA season starts. Calendar dates are circled. We're almost there. But in the meantime, the Celtics have already made one more move as they prepare for their preseason training camp. They sign Nemus Katea. He is a 7-foot footer. He signed a 2-way contract. He's played 20 NBA games over the last two seasons. He was selected by the Kings in 2021, played at Utah State. What do you guys think about this addition? Is this the final piece that the Celtics have been waiting for, or are we still just figuring it out at this point?
It better not be. It better not be the last piece. Otherwise, we got problems.
No,
I think Celtics fans are going to have to slowly but surely become accustomed to this being the way of the world for Celtics going forward. You are going to have to find players that are much more, I would say, potential as opposed to proven body of work, simply because of the salary cap and the fact that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to monopolize such a significant part of that, that in order to fill out your roster, you're going to have to take guys that you may not have never heard of. And yet when you start looking at some of the things they can do, there is the promise and the potential for them to be really good. They just don't have the proven body of work yet. And if you are this young man and you join a team like the Celtics, it's an ideal situation if you think about it. You're a young guy who hasn't really quite found his basketball home yet. And the big three that you're playing behind, and I'm talking about Al Horford, I'm talking about Porzingis, and I'm talking about, of course, time with Robert Williams III, each of them at some point is going to miss some time, which may be the opportunity that you're going to need to take advantage of in order to continue to build up confidence that the staff will have in you to potentially be part of their future. Al's going to miss games because of his age. Load management is going to be the issue with Porzingis and Rob Williams. And if you are this young man, you need to make the most of that opportunity. You need to make the most of those chances where you know you're going to play and those guys are not going to play if they're going to be hurt or out of it. So it's a nice addition because I think when you start looking at his body of work, there is the potential for growth. But if you are counting on this to be the difference between you winning a title or not, you got some serious problems, and we need to get you some help. We need to get you some help for that, because that's not how this works.
Yeah, I think it's a good move in terms of development. They need a young big who's athletic, and you know, he can get his seasoning in the G League. We'll see what happens in training camp, whether he can kind of gain a roster spot. Remember, Luke Kornet's on a non-guaranteed deal, so he's like the third big. So that's who he probably would have to beat out for minutes to get kind of a role on the team. And he's on a two-way deal, so he's limited to, I want to say, 45 games or 50 games. You can't play a full season. You're not eligible for the playoffs. So they'd have to transform his contract to a standard NBA deal for him to be eligible for the postseason. So this is more of a future move, but it's like what the Celtics are doing. There, we're going to wait until there was an available player in the market that they liked before they used that third two-way contract. And Keita was a guy who was on Sacramento. He was kind of a development player for them. And then they signed JaVale McGee, so they released him to give him a chance to go somewhere else. So this is a good opportunity for him. Like Sherrod said, a good opportunity for the Celtics. But this is obviously, as he said, not a move that's going to be pivotal for this year unless this guy really develops into kind of a third center. But if you're him and you're looking at, okay, I need to be better than Luke Kornet in training camp, that's what I'm going to do. You know, that's his goal. So, you know, we'll see what happens in camp. But I do think they needed a developmental center. They needed somebody they could work on that can soak up some minutes down the road. I don't know if it'll be this season. We'll see how he looks. We'll see whether he's just kind of one of those guys who gets unleashed. You know, remember, a few years ago, Javonte Green kind of came into camp and turned a bunch of heads and made the roster out of nowhere. So we'll see if that happens. But I think it's a good opportunity for him. And I think the Celtics, you know, you want to fill those two-way spots with developmental players, and they have a third one in Nikita.
I like the fact, Gary, that you went a little blast from the past and mentioned Javonte Green. I'm gonna go even deeper than that, and I'll see your Javonte Green with a Greg Steensma. I think that, to me, if I'm a guy coming in from the outside, the way that Kata is going to be coming in, Steensma is my North Star. I want to be like him. And the way that Steensma made his impression in those meaningless preseason games that nobody cares about except the guy at the end of the bench, he would get 3 or 4 minutes and be amazing. And then all of a sudden, you got Kevin Garnett jumping out of his seat. You got Paul Pierce, waving a towel when you're in the game. And the next thing you know, they put you in like more realistic game type situations. And then the legend is born. Kita, the biggest thing that he's going to have to do is he is going to have to maximize every single chance he gets out on the floor to make an impression. Because here's the thing. You don't want to play well enough to where they think they like you. You want to play well enough to where they feel they need you. And that's, to me, is for guys that are from the outside looking in, that has to be the mindset. It ain't about impressing them so that he's a good player. It's about, damn, we really need him on our team. That has to be the mindset. And again, just looking at his track record, second round pick, he went to a school. Utah State isn't exactly basketball power. So he's accustomed to having to prove himself in the not so bright lights with basketball organizations and programs. This is an opportunity for him to do it on a much grander scale, obviously, with less pressure from the standpoint of, I don't have to play great basketball to show them what I got. What I have to do, I just have to play whatever role they need me to play. And that's the thing that a lot of guys like him have to understand. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be a great player. You got to be a great role player in whatever role they feel they need from you. I don't know if he fully understands that, embraces that yet, but he better. Because if he wants to stick around, he will. He'll figure that out because the opportunity is there. As Gary pointed out, you got to beat out Cornette. Okay, I like Luke. Yeah. Bobby Manning loves Luke. Yeah. But bottom line is that we're not talking about this insurmountable Mount Everest type accomplishment that you're going to need in order to stick with this team. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he handles that because that is going to be one of the more, I think, intriguing positional battles that'll be waged in the preseason and potentially in the regular season as well.
So definitely not the final piece, but he can figure out where he fits in this big picture that is their goal for the end of this season. Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use, and there's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. 21 and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gamblinghelplinema.org, or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Moving on, though, I want to honor that we're recording this on a very special day. It's the birthday of Red Auerbach, who was born on September 20th. I love that you wrote he would have been 106 today, which is very interesting perspective. I imagine if he was still here, he'd still be smoking cigars and yelling at somebody as well.
You know that's right.
Right, no matter how old. But just, I would love to hear both of you, just some thoughts on, as the viewers probably know, the listeners also, he was a person that really helped when it comes to the Celtics' history of, one, integrating the league, but really being a trendsetter when it came to the diversity in the NBA. He was the coach that helped draft Chuck Cooper, which was the first Black player in the league. And then, of course, Bill Russell being the first Black head coach in the NBA. Of course, he had played for the Celtics as well. But he got it. In that era and time, he understood what needed to be done when it came to not only the Celtics organization, but the NBA. But from your perspective, what do you think was maybe his biggest impact? Not biggest, but maybe more memorable impact for you personally?
What do you got, Gary?
Well, he did a lot, obviously. And I think Mr. Auerbach was just a pioneer. We throw that word around a lot, but he was a true pioneer of the league. He helped build the NBA from its early days, building teams, making that shrewd trade to get Bill Russell. Bill Russell was not drafted by the Boston Celtics. There's a big myth, misnomer. He was drafted by the St. Louis Hawks and traded to the Boston Celtics. So, I mean, anyone, that's a historic lifetime deal. That's Babe Ruth going from the Red Sox to the Yankees. Like, that alone sets Auerbach apart from as one of the great managers, coaches, general managers, coaches, team presidents in the history of professional sports. And obviously, you talk about the drafting of Chuck Cooper, the naming of Bill Russell as player coach, the naming of Casey Jones as coach. Like the people have a perception that the Celtics were the white team and the Lakers were the Black team in the finals. But if you look all through those years, except in 81, the Celtics had a Black coach. I mean, they had Casey Jones. They had our friend Cedric Maxwell. They had Dennis Johnson. They had Robert Parrish. They had ML Carr, Quinn Buckner. I mean, so whoever Red brought in, he didn't care what color, he brought in players who wanted to win and could win. And obviously the situation, the drafting of Larry Bird, where he took him early. He took him in the 78 draft. And then convinced him to, I mean, then he went back to Indiana State for a year and then signed with the Celtics for the 79-80 season, won Rookie of the Year, obviously over Magic Johnson. The trade that brought them not only Kevin McHale, but Robert Parrish with the Warriors for the rights to Joe Barry Carroll, like moves that are just ridiculously lopsided, but Red orchestrated those moves. So not only an amazing general manager, but a pioneer, someone who did not care what the color of your skin was, and also a legendary figure, the cigar. You know, you hear stories, you know, turn on only the cold water for the visiting showers, turn on the heat in the garden, like any competitive advantage he would use to win because he wanted to win that badly. So, and people don't remember, too, those videos he did. Not videos, before games. This is when we were kids, Sherrod, on CBS.
I mean, when you were a kid, I was.
Yeah, when we were kids,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, you weren't born then. Yeah, you weren't even thought of.
But I need you, Gary, to let us know what's happening.
And you, Red would have instructionals, like kind of videos. Now it would be on YouTube or something. But before games, he would pull out current NBA players and show fans how to do a pick and roll. How to, you know, make the right bounce pass. He would have like Pete Maravich and George Gervin, or they would come out, and this is crazy, just as a kid watching in Red with his cigar would be like, okay, now we want to come over here, set the pick. Like he would have kind of like basketball instructional video. This is what we don't do anymore. I mean, we don't do that anymore. We don't teach the game to young people. Everybody thinks they know the game. We don't teach the basics, the fundamentals of the game like they did back in the 1960s and 70s, where they would pull out, you know, he would come out and he would have a little Celtics jacket on and he would tell Maravich, okay, dribble up. And then he'd have the other NBA player set a pick. And it was amazing to see that. Now you think about that as you get older, as we all get older, I get older, and you're like, wow, that was really neat. And, you know, back then, how they used to do that, they used to teach the game. So people don't remember that with Red Auerbach, but Red Auerbach did those instructional videos. So just a legendary figure. You can't even It's like Bill Russell. Like, there's not enough words you could say about Red Auerbach. There isn't enough words you could say about Bill Russell. You could keep saying things, and there's nothing too much. So just a legendary figure.
The big thing about Red that I'll always appreciate is how distinctly different the narrative is when you are at the kind of, as a kid growing up watching the Celtics, I never really thought about them as being an all-white team, because when I saw them coming up as a kid, they had none of my brothers on the team. They were coached by a dude that looked like me. I'm just like, damn, Boston, okay. And so the narrative as we got older, where Boston is like this really like, they've got all these race issues in the city and all this stuff. As a young child, it did not resonate with me because the product that I saw on the floor looked very different than what you were hearing in the streets. And when you move to the area, you realize that there's a distinction that needs to be drawn and spoken about between the organization and the city. They're not one and the same. They are not this one-size-fits-all thing. The fan base, that's another story for another day, but the actual organization, specifically the organization that Red was building, very different, very progressive. And as Gary, so eloquently pointed out, it all came back to one thing and one thing only. How can I win the damn game? What can I do to light that cigar up and blow it in their face with 2-3 minutes to go in the damn game? Because we got this thing wrapped up. What can I do to make that moment real? Mm-hmm. And Red was one of the best to ever do it and one of the first to do it in the NBA to recognize that at the end of the day, it's not about the color of your skin or anything like that. It's about, can you play the game? Can you play and help me win? Can you play and help this organization win? Can you play well enough so we can lift another one of those banners? And Red was willing to do whatever he could to get the best players.
He was racism is not getting in the way of a win.
Yes. He's just like, look, you can be, and you know, they I remember they've had many stories about how some of the other owners around the NBA had issues with the way the Celtics did things because they didn't, particularly with Chuck Cooper. You know, there was lots of talk about, the owners were given, ownership of the Celtics at the time, brief because they drafted Chuck Cooper. And the owner was pretty, Walter Brown was pretty clear. I don't care whether you're brown, green, whatever. You just want guys who can play the game and win. And that mindset, whether we want to give Red credit for that, soon that became the mindset of other teams, where it really became more about winning as opposed to winning over a segment of your fan base who is going to flip on you the minute you draft so-and-so and they suck and you don't win. So it's like, why don't I just build a winner and see where the fans come? And that's exactly what the NBA has done time and time and time again. And Red and the way he approached team building in Boston was the blueprint that so many teams tried to replicate. And again, he doesn't get enough credit for, I think, the impact of his approach to team building had on the rest of the NBA. And made it so much more about just finding players who can help you win games versus finding players of a specific, color so that will appease a certain segment of your fan base. Even though you're going out there getting your ass whipped by 25, 30 points. That don't make sense. And Red wisely said, you're right. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to do that. So Red, he gets props, man. He is as iconic a legend in Boston and in the NBA as there is. I'm literally looking in front of me. I have a statue of Red literally in front of me. Of him sitting on the bench. In fact, just so y'all think I ain't BSing.
Is it small? Is it like a handheld?
Just so y'all can see.
Wait, is it a replica of the one that's in the front of, where is it?
Of the one that you see in the hall. This little fella.
Where's the one downtown of him?
It's literally sitting in front of me every day when I'm in.
No, where's the real one? I'm trying to remember.
It's Faneuil Hall.
It is Faneuil Hall.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not losing it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't go to Faneuil Hall enough.
Yeah.
But I've seen.
And again, Red, like I said, and he's just such an iconic figure. Means so much to so many. And even though he gets a lot of credit for the work that he has done to help bring the NBA to where it's at today, it still feels like it's just not enough.
Yeah.
It feels like there should be more acknowledgement of what he's done, because he really was a lone wolf out there for many years. And you know, even though his teams were winning, he was still catching some heat for doing things that weren't necessarily aligned with the times. But Red, his thing was about just doing what's right and doing what's right to win. The two went hand in hand. And he major props to Red, major props.
Well, may he continue to rest in peace. And again, I thank you guys for sharing that. But it's always good to hear and kind of relive and re-honor the people that have come before us, especially someone like him.
I totally forgot about the videos that Gary was talking about until he brought that up.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I remember.
Are they online? I imagine they were like VHS, but like someone could have digitized them.
Oh, you can find
them. Yeah, you can see them now. You can write YouTube it. Okay. They used to show them back in the olden days when CBS had the rights to the NBA. I know people are like, there's no always been on ABC and ESPN. No, it hasn't.
And NBC had it too. Don't forget.
NBC, the Jordan era had it.
Song ever.
You have to ask yourself, who made the worst decision to give up the NBA coverage? Was it CBS before Jordan took off?
Ooh.
Or was it NBC before LeBron took off? So both of them are bad. Both of them are bad decisions because CBS decided to do Major League Baseball in 1990. They decided to do Major League Baseball, and they gave up the NBA because they wanted more time to show baseball, and they gave it to NBC. And then suddenly the first year of NBC basketball was when Jordan won his first title, and that was it. So, but yeah, on the before CBS games, it's like the late 70s, maybe the early 80s, they would have these like instructional 30-minute shows or even not 30 minutes, maybe like before in the pregame show, and they would have Red out there literally with current NBA players at the time in their uniforms doing it. Could you imagine like, you know, having, you know, Greg Popovich out there with Giannis and other guys doing
that would never happen, honestly.
Yeah, you just couldn't see that, right? You couldn't see him having Giannis in his Bucks uniform or you know, Luka in his Mavericks uniform doing like the art of the pick and roll or how to, you know, go inside, outside, you know, pass into the post, things like that. So that taught a lot of us the game, you know, the little tips of the game when you would have, you know, real NBA players out there teaching with Red, with his cigar in his mouth and his little Celtics jacket on, like so, telling them where to go. Because obviously before he was a general manager, president, he was a coach.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a little different when you're watching Red go through drills than your little, you know, your bitty basketball coach.
Yes, yes.
Because it's just like, wait a minute, dude, who are you?
Right.
Now, Red is like, oh, I know you.
I respect Red. You.
Mm-hmm. You Red. So, put some respect in that drill. Absolutely.
All right. Well, the final topic of the podcast today is probably the most fun one because, one, congratulations are in order. For our guy Marcus Smart and his longtime girlfriend, Mesa, they have tied the knot officially. And that guest list was, of course, loaded with stars. But there were some former Celtics, current Celtics. Terry Rozier was there. Obviously, Jalen and Jason were there. If that cleared up any question about whether or not they were friends, weirdness, but that's weird. Ime Udoka, though, he was on the list. I think that's probably the most, honestly, between Ime and Brad Stevens, those are the two that shocked me. Because I genuinely, like, I follow a few people that I knew were going to be at the wedding, and I was like, was Brad invited? Is Brad going to still show up? I was waiting, and I saw the guest list. He was on there. I saw half of the guest list. I'm still trying to find the other half, but
Brad was going to be there regardless.
You think so?
Think about the relationship between Brad and Marcus. I mean, Marcus was the first guy that Brad coached that really had some kind of sustaining power.
So
to me, when I think about that wedding, I got a million and one questions. But would you put Brad and Ime and Wick at the same table?
No. Oh, wait a minute.
See, would love to know what the seating arrangement.
All right, so I found the list on my phone. Mike Zarin and Brad Stevens were at the same table. Udoka was at a different table. I'm trying to see if anyone to confirm.
Wow. A different table, Gary.
The person planning was very, very intentional about where people were sitting to answer
your question.
Okay. But I'm looking to see what that Udoka's table.
Yeah, because the worst thing you want to have happen is that somebody put this together and just like randomly put people there. And then next thing you know, you got a table with like Brad and Ime and Wick. That's awkward and uncomfortable.
Capital A.
And no one, to me, at that table, no one is going to win. No one is going to have a good time because there's just uneasiness all the way around for lots of different reasons. Regardless of who you believe or who you think is right or wrong, it's going to be awkward. We all agree that that would have been an awkward session.
I don't know exactly where the tables were, but the numbers are also very far apart. So I want to imagine that they weren't near each other either. I did see that their wedding, because I'm nosy, their wedding planner, she was like, I think she got Forbes like best wedding planner for a certain year. So I would hope that would be part of being a wedding planner, paying a lot of attention to detail, especially when it comes to high profile people, where honestly it's easy research because everything's in the news anyway.
Yeah. You don't want your wedding to be that wedding that people talk about for all the wrong reasons. Like, did you get that mug? Brad, you don't want that to be all the reports that we hear about the wedding was great. Everyone had good time. You look at the photos that they took, it was awesome.
YG and performed and Eric Bellinger, which was cool. He had like actual celebrities. Like,
who's Eric Bellinger?
They're R&B singer. They're singers. They're modern day musicians.
Have you heard of Eric Bellinger, Sherrod?
Look at, I have.
I see that you have, or you have.
What's his hit song?
He said, "I have," or you have not.
I have.
Okay.
What's his hit song?
His name.
I can't even tell you.
Come on, Kwani, this is your category. What's his hit song?
No, I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert on him specifically, but I'm saying he's a relevant artist. I don't have to look into everybody that exists, but he's like a more modern day R&B singer.
Okay.
Don't come for me.
Keep Me in Mind. Does that sound familiar?
No, but he has writing credits with Usher, Chris Brown, Justin Bieber. Honestly, he was probably a writer before he became a
songwriter. Yeah, okay. I'm just asking.
Coming at Marcus Smart.
Well, you better watch it. Watch yourself.
It looked like a good time. I do like that Jalen posted, like, my brother for life, the picture of them at the wedding as well. Again, I think that clears up any confusion about.
Here's the thing about Jalen and Marcus, though. And I don't think people fully understand this, but if you understand how family dynamics work, you will kind of get it.
Yeah.
You are going to have issues with your brother.
Nothing's
you
perfect.
Love him to death. Right. You can get on your nerves sometimes.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, the only difference between them and a lot of other folks who have brotherly like relationship is that the other relationships they're not front and center. They're not talked about publicly the way they are when you're a pro athlete and you have a really tight bond. In fact, I enjoy when I see players going at each other because something that Larry Brown told me a long, long time ago about NBA players is that, you know, you want guys who care enough to cuss each other out, care enough to go at each other. Because if you got a team and everyone is getting along and nobody's saying nothing, there are feelings that they are masking. Just to get along. And that's not going to win you championships. It's just not. So I love the fact that when they got at each other. I love when Jalen got pissed at Marcus for putting on a damn popcorn in his car. I'd be mad too.
That's actually funny. Yeah.
I'd be mad too.
Those pranks are always good.
But does that mean I'm going to be ready to not pass in the ball?
Come on.
I'm just going to let him know, bro, I think what you did was messed up. And we're going to keep him up?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm much respected, man. I love to see that. I love to see that.
We love love over here on the A-List podcast. Gary, any thoughts on the wedding? I mean, did you get to consume all the Instagram?
I saw the photos. I thought it was cool that, you know, they all showed up. Jason, you know, and Brad. And I mean, I thought it was fun. It was and I think it was kind of like a way for Marcus to let everybody know that he's good now. The trade is 2+ months ago. And I think he's looking forward to playing in Memphis. I think he's in a good place. And he'll have a real contribution, obviously, a chance to contribute to that team. He'll be the starting point guard until Ja comes back, and who knows what's going to happen when Ja comes back, how long it's going to take him to get in shape and all that other good stuff in terms of his suspension. So I think it's good for Marcus to just, he's got his team, you know, and this is what you know, Memphis is looking to compete in the West. The West is treacherous. So you got a real dog out there for him. And I just think it was good for him to and not forget the 9 years he spent in Boston and all the friendships he made and not be petty. Y'all, I'm not inviting this person. I'm not inviting Brent. Like, you know, get over it.
Uninviting them at this point.
Yeah, I don't want you in my big. Like, you built these friendships, and I'm sure him and Brad have had conversations in the times, the weeks since the trade, and probably said, hey, man, it's a business. And I think Marcus understands after 9 years, he's seen teammates traded. He's seen what happened to Isaiah Thomas. He's seen what happened to a lot of guys that, you know, he was down for, and they went to other teams or whatever, Jay Crowder and Marcus Morris and all those guys he played with. You know, Terry Rozier, who got invited to the wedding. Terry Rozier was there. So to me, I think it was a good way to complete it. It's over now. He moves on to his next step. Celtics move forward. Maybe they meet in a couple of months in Memphis, and we'll see what happens there. But I think, and I just think the whole thing with Jalen and Marcus, I mean, I think they've admitted, like, they've had their times where they have fought. They fought in the bubble. Like, and people don't want to believe me and thought I was lying when I said it.
We believe you, Gary. You know we believed you.
That they actually, they were the ones that went at each other in the bubble and they had to have some mediation.
You just started trouble, Gary. That's all.
He was like, I said what I said.
I hate to say it like that, but, you know, they've had ups and downs, and now it's ups, and they have a high amount of respect for each other. And I thought it was cool. Jalen came and Jason, you know, just looked like Jalen was having a good time at the thing. And Marcus, it's Marcus's day, and he deserves it. He's a hardworking guy. He's had a lot of adversity in his life, a lot of family members, you know, I'm sure. He was sad that his mom couldn't see her son get married. And it's very sad in terms of, you look at Marcus's background and his brother and things like that, all of what he's been through and other family members passing away and him probably being the breadwinner in the family and having to support a lot of pressure on a man who literally is just 29 years old. Okay. I mean, I don't know if I'd have been able to handle that at 29 years old, or either of us. And Kwani, that was like a year and a half ago for you. So, you know, like, you know, we don't know. Kwani wouldn't be able to handle it fine, I'm sure. But I think this is a great moment for Marcus. It's his biggest day, and I applaud him, and I'm rooting for him in Memphis.
That is beautiful. Congratulations once again. That's all we have for this week's episode. Next week, though, we're going to have a NBA season preview of the 2023-2024.
I promise we're going to get a guest next week. We're going to
get a good guest too. That's a tease.
I'm thinking our man Vincent Goodwill might be available.
The whole point was to not give it away if you did have a guest. Is it him?
It's good. I will talk to Vincent, and
he has no choice.
I'm sure we'll make time for Vincent Goodwill next week for his opinions, because he's got them. That's one thing he never lacks, is opinions.
Never.
That's right.
So, on everything.
Let's do it.
All right. So, well, until then, thank you for listening to this episode of the A-List Podcast. Kwani Lunis, A'Shaun Blakely, Gary Washburn. We'll be back next week. Make sure you tune in. Thank you.
New FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube at YouTube TV. Ever wish you could navigate the betting field with the confidence of a pro? Enter Odds Are. They're not a sportsbook, but they're the sports betting advisor you always needed. It's like having a playbook for smarter bets right in your pocket. I've been absolutely loving the experience, and I think you will too, especially since Celtics All Access listeners get a 30-day free trial. Elevate your game day and join the smart betting revolution. Go get it at oddsr.com/Celtics. That's oddsr.com/Celtics.